good. Feel real good. Strong.
Strong? Strong like yep. a bull?
Strong like bull.
What episode is this?
Holy fuck, what episode is
97.
This? 97.
Hello, we are the Brothers Geek. This is our podcast. Whoop, 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 whoop. Yes.
Everyone stops listening.
Seriously,
immediately.
Like, we lost all 13 all subscribers.
Three listeners.
Thank you, all three listeners, Mom, Dad, and Kristen.
Exactly. Yes. That might be the entirety.
We love you guys. Thank you for listening and putting up with our silliness. welcome to the Brothers Geek. We're brothers and we're geeks, and I'm Patrick Schmaltz. We talk about geeky things. That's Andrew Schmaltz. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Patrick.
Hello Christopher. That's Christopher Schmaltz.
Hi.
Yeah.
Episode 97.
97.
What and day is it today?
It is October 2nd, your guys' favorite month.
Oh, God.
God.
Wait until November 1st. I hate this month.
Let me ask you a question, because everybody loves to dress up. Everybody loves Halloween, but you two curmudgeons.
Quote-unquote, everybody.
Anyways, if you guys wanted to cosplay, had any means necessary that you could go, you could that's the costume you own, like what costume would you do? It's perfect. It's like the perfect costume. Everything fits right. You have all the props, everything. Where does your mind go? What's number one?
My mind honestly goes to Malcolm Reynolds from Firefly.
Oh my God, dude.
Dude, that's a good one. That's a real good one.
That is exactly mine.
You guys can't have exactly the same.
I totally went to that.
Oh my God. This is great. This is why you guys are brothers.
It's futuristic, but you also feel like a gunslinger, and you wear like the long coat. And yep.
The
know,
duster. You were in the brown coat duster?
Wearing the brown coat duster.
That's a good look. That's a good look.
Oh, cool.
It is a good look.
It is so cool. And it's become iconic. Think about that. I think about that every now and again. In 14 episodes of television and one movie, this Malcolm Reynolds, this look, has become so iconic.
It's iconic. And it's like so geeky and perfect.
It doesn't have like an extremely long life. I mean... Yeah, no, it's amazing to me. Yeah, no, I would probably go Malcolm Reynolds because it's so simple, it's so fun to pull off, and you get to wear a gun on your hip and feel like, you know, a space pirate slash cowboy.
Space cowboy pirate. Yeah.
Freedom fighter.
Yeah, I'm totally there.
I would go Luke Skywalker.
You go Luke Skywalker?
Or Obi-Wan Kenobi.
You want
the prequels?
See, this is the distinction. Like your color, your lightsaber changes, and the outfit's slightly different. I mean, Luke kind of goes. He has like a black look in Return of the Jedi / Empire Strikes Back. He wears a lot of black in that,
It reflects the, you know, darkening, quote unquote, maturing of his character.
Totally. It's interesting to me that he's like. I mean, by the end of Return of the Jedi, he's very, like, dark, and then in The Last Jedi, he's like, kind of this old man, and not really rocking the Jedi outfit anymore, and I don't know. In the flashbacks, he's even wearing the white, kind of, he looks like Obi-Wan, you know?
Well, get to the top of the mountain on, God, what's the name of that planet? I'm blanking on the name of the planet.
At the end of
Force Awakens, when Rey finds him on the top of the mountain, he's wearing the traditional Jedi Master garb that you would expect him to. And then within the first 5 minutes of them being on that mountain, on that island, he's in the garb, he throws his lightsaber away, and he takes off that, and he goes full hermit. So just an amazing way of Rian Johnson completely flipping the expectation on its head.
Well, I feel like we kind of let in. We were going to wait to talk about this later, but like we're talking about Last Jedi right now, so we should bring up the Last Jedi stuff.
Oh yeah, no, so. I noticed this news article online, and I think it's big news because of we have made a very vocal opposition in since The Last Jedi came out last Christmas to the what I have coined as the Last Jedi hate cult that kind of cropped up online. And I've argued with real people in my sphere of friends who hate The Last Jedi. They think it's the worst Star Wars movie.
Whoa.
And I won't even get into the arguments as
worse than the prequels. They think it's worse than the prequels.
They hate it. The person that I've gotten into with about this movie legitimately hates it. He thinks it's the worst Star Wars movie.
Oh my god. Ever. Okay.
And believe me, I don't take the argument seriously because I consider the source and all these things, leads it to this.
Yeah.
So you can find the article online, and we'll link to it in the show notes as well. The article I'm looking at right now is on Wired.com, and it talks about the toxic fandom that came out surrounding The Last Jedi and how it seemed to be everywhere that the Star Wars fan base unanimously rejected this movie, which, as three of the most intense Star Wars fans you'll ever meet in your life,
yeah,
it was not unanimous. The three. Patrick eventually came around. He had a mixed reaction to the movie, but upon discussing it with us, and I think a rewatch or two, you have come to appreciate the movie in a more substantive way.
You know,
can I say that?
This is my takeaway, is like, I do not think it's my favorite Star Wars movie. I do not think that it is a bad Star Wars movie. I think that it has redeeming qualities. I think it has bad qualities. I think that overall,
it's by no means a perfect movie.
But I do not think it deserves.
You just described the original three movies.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that's part of the point. It's like, they're not perfect, and it's not perfect, and I like a lot of scenes in it. I like a lot of choices it made, but we are not the internet trolls. We are internet troll hunters. We are the opposite. We are the opposition.
This is what I'm saying. We are the opposite of internet trolls. So the article I'm looking at is on Wired.com, and I quote, "Today," this is the writer speaking, "today I learned they might have been, according to a new paper from Morton Bay at the University of Southern California's Center for Digital Feature, a large majority of the social media comments about the film were, quote, deliberate, organized political influence measures disguised as fan arguments."
Okay, what does Star Wars have to do with politics?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. The article by the paper by Morton Bay analyzes the fact that, and you know, it goes back to the Russian trolls, and they're hopefully they don't attack our website for even bringing ourselves into this.
Oh god.
But they wanted to sow divisions in American popular culture, and they targeted Star Wars specifically, and they amplified the hatred and disapproval of
why?
The
why? Patrick, why is this a thing?
No. Patrick, the gender politics of it is why the Russian trolls feed the hate cult that is white males who feel fucking threatened by the fact that it's a female star and it's
Jesus.
A Asian female hero in the movie. And it's not the men who are the focal point and the focus of the movie. It's these women who get these prominent roles and key roles in the film.
Are you kidding?
No, dude. That's exactly it.
That is absurd to me.
It is fucking ignorant.
Oh my god.
It is completely absurd, but it was a concerted effort to sow division in American popular culture. Like, it was this is an academic study, dude.
So it totally overlaps with that contingent of internet troll hate monger because those populations are aligned in a variety of spheres. Gamergate bullshit,
Gamergate
stuff like
that. Bullshit, yeah. Well, and it created the dissension out of nowhere. But it amplified it. So it felt much more overwhelming than it actually was.
Here's what's crazy.
Really loud minority of assholes.
Here's what's crazy
who are posting everywhere.
Everybody's like waking up in the past, like, I don't know, 10 years? I want to give it 10 years, but, like, it's more like 3. The Me Too movement, you know, the Gamergate stuff. Like, how much sexism and, like, crazy misogyny is prevalent in all forms of our culture? Gaming, geekdom, you know,
completely.
Entertainment, and politics, like, all this, like, with all the stuff that's going on in our politics right now, I don't want to get into that, because Jesus Christ. But,
that's another podcast.
That's another podcast. But, like, that is insane to me. That I
agree. It is insane because it's true.
Oh my God.
It's
absolutely
true. The truth. And there is, Ryan Johnson, being the forward-thinking progressive filmmaker that he is, he set out to create, you know, I mean, and even people talk about, they want to talk about the arcs that Luke has, that the character arcs that that Poe Dameron goes through, you know, kind of the side story of, you know, Finn and Rose and the adventure that they go on, and how the male characters in the movie aren't the most heroic of the central characters. And my argument is, well, those three actually have an arc, and they learn things, and they go through something.
Oh,
they
come
out the end a better version of themselves.
Yeah.
And Rey's the same way. Yeah, Rey.
We don't need to argue the characters actually learn stuff. Right.
He can't go through the movie perfect.
Totally.
And have it be a good story.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about
The Last Jedi. I feel like it's. Yep. We all feel positive about it, but, like, the internet has been saying no. And look, I've been like, oh, man.
It's been amplified artificially, dude. This study proves it. It was artificially amplified.
That's horrible. Really? That's what you want to spend your time doing? Like, what?
Russian trolls, dude. Lots amplified. 100%.
Why perpetuate hate and falseness?
Because you get the type of president that we have right now.
Oh God, fuck! Well, that's our society. Our society is like, yes,
dude. It's they're thinking on another level, bro.
Yeah,
well, they're taking advantage of people's laziness, lack of critical thinking, the anonymity of the internet, all the things that plague our society.
Yeah,
all the things that plague our society. People don't think for themselves. People don't question what they read. People accept blindly dumbassery. And so that is a ripe environment for a sophisticated approach to influence idiots.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
mm-hmm.
they do. They succeed because they have a sophisticated approach to push those buttons that they know will work.
Yep.
And morons who can't think for themselves and are racist, misogynist assholes will blindly follow.
Yep. Anyway, we could talk about this ad nauseum, but we're not gonna.
We're not gonna.
This is a positive podcast.
Positive podcast.
The positive idea of all of this.
Good topic, Andrew, you dick.
Hold on. I'm making a point. Let me put a slammer on this. The positive outcome of all of this is, which we always suspected, but now we have scientific proof that the freaking hate mongers are actually a very small minority of Star Wars fans.
They are.
The large majority of Star Wars fans enjoyed the film. So fuck off, Last Jedi hate cult. You guys are bullshit.
Yeah, you're bullshit. Let me segue this into a smaller little topic that I read. They're saying they're going to bring Luke back for the episode 9. I heard a rumor about that. Did he die at the end of Last Jedi, or did he just fall over exhausted?
He faded into the Force, dude. His clothes.
But
flew
they're
away.
Saying they're saying he's like alive.
He
they're
became
saying he's
one with the Force.
Yoda. He Yoda-ized it.
He's a spirit. He's not human.
He became one with the Force.
We're gonna see. We're gonna see glowy blue Luke.
We're gonna see We're gonna see a debate between Yoda and glowy Luke.
Oh my god! I would love that. I loved Yoda showing up in Last Jedi too. That scene is so good.
So good. Yeah.
I love that.
And
like
it
Yoda,
all of our preconceived notions about Yoda, what a Jedi Master should be.
Right, and Yoda shows up still teaching Luke stuff. Like, yep, like he's still. Because Yoda is 900 years old, and like Luke is like 60 something, you know, he still has stuff to learn.
Think about these things. Mm-hmm. You think about the training that Luke had, and what Obi-Wan and Yoda were trying to turn him into was a weapon to kill the Emperor and his own father.
Well, you've talked about this before. That's more prevalent
It was really Obi-Wan, because Obi-Wan sent and convinced Yoda to do the training. Obi-Wan appeared to him on Hoth and said, go to Yoda. It was Obi-Wan's effort in order to send the missile toward Vader.
And fix what he created.
Exactly.
Does
guilt.
Obi-Wan's guilt over what he made.
Obi-Wan is the fucking villain of the series.
Whoa! That's a little stretch.
For sure.
That seems a
There's
little...
There's an argument to be made there.
That seems kind of simplistic, internet troll.
I'm sure if you type into YouTube right now, Obi-Wan is the true villain of the Star
Someone
Wars.
Made that video.
You
someone
like 700 videos.
Someone has written the theory.
Someone has written that theory right there. Oh, my God.
That's so awesome.
Oh, my God. Oh. Anyways. Andrew, you were watching a movie the other day. What were we watching?
I was watching Mystery Alaska, and it kind of brought up.
Right.
I just watched that movie. HBO. Or
it's
something.
On HBO right now. Anyways,
I love that movie.
Me too. And so it brought up the idea of we've never talked about. I mean, almost in 100 episodes, it's a genre of film that has distinct characteristics that we've never actually talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Our favorite sports movies.
Yeah.
Maybe because it falls a little outside our genre, but we're movie people, so
right,
exactly. Very much.
It's a worthy conversation.
I have to say, I really love sports movies. Like a really good sports movie is it does something for me. I'm not a fan of multiple
sports movies in my top 20 of all time.
I would never like sit down and watch like a baseball game. Or like a basketball game, but I would definitely watch a baseball movie or a basketball movie. Like, those things are fun to me.
Yeah.
So, just right off the top of my head, I'm thinking like Sandlot and The Natural, and maybe Rudy. Rudy is one of the greatest movie themes of all time. Jerry Goldsmith. Whoo.
Oh, the music at the end.
Oh my god! Like that's on my running playlist. The Rudy theme.
Oh yeah.
And that gets me going, dude. That's
a damn good movie.
Yeah.
Rudy is a damn good movie. Those three
came to mind without even like thinking hard about it.
What's the name of the dude who's at the end who's watching from the tunnel?
Oh yeah!
God! What? Rock something?
Yeah, is he just clapping? He's clapping for Rudy.
Yeah, well, my point was the movie goes down a notch for me because of his dumbass clapping.
Dude, he's excited. He's getting emotional about Rudy succeeding.
What's on your list, Chris?
Dude, don't hate on that scene. That's amazing.
Dumbass clapping. Loses points. For his dumbass, stilted clapping.
You're wrong. Okay. You've never been more wrong about anything in your life.
My God.
Anyways, go Christopher.
I concur with your mention of Sandlot. Sandlot, probably my favorite baseball movie.
Oh, man. So good.
The girls and I watch that all the time.
Childhood and friendship.
Childhood friendship and centered around baseball.
Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams is so good.
Field of Dreams is so good, and that's a father and son thing.
Yeah,
and that, that like cuts me to the bone.
Dude, that gets you, right?
Really good tale.
Set up a beautiful farm in the American Midwest.
I think Moneyball is an incredible movie.
I was thinking the same movie. I've been thinking about that movie lately. That is a good movie.
Well, I mean, it won all these awards, too. Didn't that win Best Picture that year?
No, it was nominated.
It was nominated. But it was, like, really good.
Aaron Sorkin was nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay because it's based on a book by Michael Lewis, who wrote about Billy Bean and what he did at the Atlanta.
And Jonah Hill doing a serious role for the first time and getting a nomination for his role in that.
And Brad Pitt got nominated for Best Actor, I think.
Yeah.
One of his only nominations he got for
crazy.
That movie.
That's crazy.
So, a movie that we go back to over and over again in our house is Miracle.
Uh-huh.
That movie is awesome.
The hockey movie.
Non-baseball
movie. Oh, my God. I can't even think. Like, Mighty Ducks? Like, everybody saw the Mighty Ducks. Like,
yeah, but that's not a good movie.
That doesn't hold up. You rewatch that now.
It's a great movie when you're a kid.
It hasn't dated well. It hasn't aged well.
My favorite basketball movie is Hoosiers. That movie I watch.
Hoosiers is so good.
Anytime I land on it on cable, I will watch it till the
end. That's got a great theme, too. That's a really good theme. So,
yep.
I'm going to look who did that because I don't think I know that off the top of my head. Andrew, what do you got?
I mean, a lot of what you guys have already said. I mean, Patrick, you said The Natural, and I think The Natural takes...
I love The Natural.
You know, baseball to kind of like a mythic level of storytelling.
Yeah.
Just works.
It loses a couple of points for me for its schmaltzy... sort of emotional.
I agree. I can agree with that.
We are the Schmaltz brothers.
I know. I agree with that.
It can't lose points.
Patrick, how about this?
Yeah,
you're running. I'm running. We are runners. Chariots of Fire, dude.
Oh yeah, that Chariots of Fire is great.
Is amazing.
Yes. Yeah, it is. Yes.
That movie won Best Picture in like
yes,
1983
it, yes, it did.
Or something.
Yeah, yeah.
1981.
One of the greatest, like all these like movie themes too are so inspirational.
That Vangelis.
Yeah.
Yes.
Theme.
It's iconic.
It's iconic.
On my running list.
Everybody knows that.
It's on my half marathon playlist.
There you go.
And
yeah.
It is fantastic.
It absolutely should be. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm trying to think.
I like a little more kind of. I like sports movies that have maybe a little more fun aspects to. I really like Major League, the first League with Charlie Sheen and
that's
Tom Berenger.
That's a great movie. Oh, yeah.
Corbin Burnson. That's just a fun baseball movie.
Okay, I got a question for you.
This is a key.
This is a key. This goes deep. This is a deep cut for us.
Ooh,
because
deep cut.
This goes to the heart of the debate that we have over whether Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a corollary to that debate. Are you ready for it?
Yes.
Are you ready for
yes.
it?
Yes.
Go.
My favorite bowling movie.
Oh,
Kingpin. The Big Lebowski.
Oh,
yeah. Is that
a bowling movie,
or does it merely feature bowling?
Does it have bowling in it?
I would
Come
say.
Come on, let's hear it.
Okay.
I will fight you.
Oh my God. The only thing that makes it not a bowling movie is the plot does not center around like a tournament that he has to go to.
I think that's
or like
to a sports movie. I was thinking about this too.
He needs like a opposing like player. He needs like a someone that is also a bowler that is his like arch enemy. Well, that could be like Jesus or whatever.
There's a centerpiece of that movie, though, dude, is the tournament. You don't fuck with the Jesus. Dude.
You don't fuck with the Jesus.
Nobody fucks with the Jesus.
Bullshit, man? They move the tournament match.
Oh my god!
Oh my god! That movie.
You might be right. I won't even argue.
All right. If we agree that it's a bowling movie, that is the number one sports movie of all time.
Structure of like, you know, the. you know, you have like the hero and he goes through adversity and he loses and then he gets his confidence back. And then
there's like a montage of them improving and
shut the fuck up, Donnie. Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. You're out of your element.
You're out of your element, Donnie.
You know what we haven't talked about?
Mark it.
Rocky.
Yeah,
Rocky.
That is, oh my god!
Incredible
like,
sports movie.
The contender movie. You know, ugh. And
Creed 2 is coming out in like 2 months.
Creed 2.
Who's going to see Creed 2?
I'm definitely going to go see Creed 2.
I'm definitely going to see Creed 2.
It reminds me so much of like Rocky 4. Like it makes me feel that so much. And I love that movie. Like Rocky got kind of ridiculous. The first Rambo,
ridiculous.
Oh my god, yeah.
Rocky 1 was like a good movie with a good script. It was nominated for awards that year. And then 2, 3, 4, 5 were all goofy. Yeah.
But Sylvester Stallone won Best Original Screenplay
for
that.
That's right.
Movie.
Yeah, that's right, dude.
Yeah. Think about the pedigree that Creed had. I mean, Michael B. Jordan's got Oscar nominations. Ryan Coogler was the director of that.
He's going on to whatever. He can do whatever he wants now. He made Black Panther, and he could do whatever he wants. Yeah,
he could get a nomination for Black Panther. Black Panther could get a Best Picture nomination.
Well,
I think.
Then we were talking about this before, like they've added the fun movie. You know what do they call it?
They're not doing that for this.
Yeah,
for
they rescinded that.
Really?
It was such a dumb idea.
They got the internet trolls won. Like that's
no, internet sensibility.
No, that wasn't trolls winning. That was correctness.
That was such a dumb idea.
Well, I think that Black Panther should still get nominated for something. But I was thinking like Black Panther would be nominated for the fun movie category.
It would be the obvious winner of the popular movie category.
Right.
I think with 10 possible nominations for Best Picture, I think Black Panther will be nominated for Best Picture.
Right.
I don't know if it'll win, but it'll get nominated.
Oscars are dumb, but it probably
Oscars
so it
are
probably
dumb.
Won't.
They've been trying to improve themselves, but they're not. They've been losing viewership slowly but surely because of their hypocrisy and their silliness.
Yeah.
So
exactly. So yeah, so that sports movie debate, we can't come to any kind of consensus.
We all agree
other
on
than
a few.
The Big Lebowski's are the best sports movie
Man,
of all time.
I'm making sure we're not like missing anything like crucial. You just said Rocky, which is like big. So now I'm like,
yeah,
I'm gonna Google best sports movies ever and see if there's anything we're missing. You're
missing
here.
A key one.
Yeah.
Have we talked about? Is there any? I mean, we talked about Rudy. Is there any other football movies that jump out?
High
quality movies that have football in them.
I kind of like The Replacements, but that's like a garbage movie.
It's a bit of a garbage movie. Yeah. That's like a Saturday afternoon on TNT.
It's on TV. You watch it.
The movie is very uneven, and it's Oliver Stone. So.
Any Given Sunday. Yeah.
What's the Brendan Fraser movie where he's at some school and he's basically just attending there.
School Ties. School Ties.
I've watched it a bunch of times.
Yeah,
it's in like the 1950s. He goes to a prep school, but he's Jewish. So
you guys,
right. So there's that racial undercurrent.
Do you guys hear what I said?
What?
It's School Ties.
School Ties. Matt was in a movie. Ben Affleck was in that movie. Brendan Fraser.
Yeah. Okay, so here's some ones we missed. Bull Durham.
Oh gosh,
100%.
That's a really good one. A League of Their Own. Really good.
Oh yeah.
One. Remember the Titans.
That's a schmaltzy as sports. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
That's schmaltzy
that's a really
as hell.
Good movie. Yeah.
Raging Bull. We forgot boxing movies. Like we remembered Rocky, but Jerry Maguire, is that a football movie?
I don't think it's a sport. I mean, it's a movie about a sports agent, but I think it's the same way that The Big Lebowski is about bowling.
Yeah. Bandit Like Beckham, that's the only soccer movie I've ever heard of.
I love that movie.
It's a really good movie. That's a good movie about, you know, gender stereotypes and stuff, too.
White Man Can't Jump?
Definitely racial
stuff. White
Man
Can't Jump is one of the best basketball movies ever made.
Oh, my God, that movie's awesome.
Great film, yep.
That is a movie that I can watch over and over and over. It is so funny.
Yep.
And the basketball is fun to watch.
The basketball is so good. That script is, like, fantastic. People were quoting that script for, like, 5 years after that.
Dude, they still quote that script. Same guy who wrote Bull Durham wrote White Men Can't Jump.
Here's one that's on the edge. The Karate Kid. Is that a sports movie?
Absolutely.
I mean,
that fills all the tropes of a sports movie.
It totally does. It totally does.
Yeah, dude, I guess.
How many times have we seen The Karate Kid?
I've seen probably 100. Like 100. Yeah.
Easily. Yeah. I think I've watched it start to finish.
The only other movie I've seen maybe more times is Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, my God. Because there was that summer where we watched those two movies like every day.
And Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the original. The original. Dudes in suits.
We had way too much time.
Still is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't. Cinderella Man's really good. Cinderella Man.
The Longest Yard with Burt Reynolds.
The Burt Reynolds one? That's a great movie. That one's really good. All right, so I feel like we covered all the good ones. Let's move on.
There's so many more that we didn't talk about.
Dude, there's so many more.
Yeah, we could dissect the sports movies.
You should
hit us up. Yeah,
email us or send us something on Twitter
What's your favorite sports movie and does it make you cry? Because I think part of an essential idea of a sports movie is it can make you cry.
It should get you emotional. That scene.
You're making all these arguments that demonstrate that the Big Lebowski is the number one.
The Big Lebowski makes you cry
everyone cries when Donnie dies.
That's true.
And everyone cries when they throw his ashes into the air and get it all over them.
Spoiler alert. So
from a can of coffee.
Yeah. Oh my God. Big Lebowski. Big Lebowski is so weird, dude. That movie's so weird.
The dream sequences are
filled with
bowling and Valkyrie, dude.
This
movie where the dude sits laying there on his floor and he's just got his headphones on and he's listening to the sound of strikes on a tape.
Oh yeah. Yes. Oh yeah, it's great. Well, that's because it's freaking Roger Deakins, too. Roger Deakins, that movie's beautiful because Roger Deakins.
Totally a sports movie, dude.
Yeah.
Is it best Coen Brothers movie or is it Fargo?
Oh, I don't. I think the Big Lebowski.
For me, it's the best one.
The Big Lebowski is like, it's very polarizing. People love it or hate it, I think. People really like Fargo.
I didn't get it. I just didn't get it.
I didn't get it either. I was like, what did I just watch?
Understand how genius that movie is.
Yeah.
I didn't get it the first time.
No, I freaking love it. I freaking love it.
It's so funny.
Anyways, so
tell us what it is.
Let's call back to last episode where I had finished Iron Fist season 2.
Yeah.
And did you guys finish season 2?
Yes.
You both. So what are your thoughts take away from Iron Fist here?
It was weak.
Yeah.
I am actually energized for season 3 because where they leave the majority of the characters at the end of season 2, it seems the most fun place they could possibly be. The fact that Ward and Danny are like on this globe trekking quest to like track down the other Iron Fists and their connections in the past. And
you honestly could have thrown away season 2 and just started with that.
They had built to that. If they had gotten there in episode 4, of season 2, and then season 2 becomes about Ward and Danny going on this quest, that would have been a monumentally more entertaining season, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some aspects of season 2 that I really like. Colleen Wing is still the best character in the series.
There's some spoilers to what happens to her character, so. What do you think of what happened to the decision they made to do what they did to her without giving too much away? I mean, I don't know how much people care about Iron Fist season 2, but
like Colleen Wing, and now that she's like a legit superhero, I guess it's fun and it's fine.
Yeah,
but
they had to give her something, right? And it was like, I don't know. I don't feel great about it, honestly. Like, I kind of like Danny just being the only Iron Fist, spoiler.
But we know from the lore, because we've read the comics, and yeah. Matt Fraction's great run on the Immortal Iron Fist from a few years ago, that there have been multiple, and we know this from the Defenders also, because they talk about all the Iron Fists of the past, mm-hmm. or the Hand talks about it a little bit, that there has been Iron Fist throughout history. Mm-hmm. There's almost always an Iron Fist in some form or another defending Kun Lun or having the power of Sha-Lao the Undying. So I kind of get it that you can transfer power and that there can be multiple Iron Fists, and I understand that it's not just Danny Rand, but I don't know, I feel like they're kind of halfway embracing the really kind of mystical aspects of the story. And by the end of it, they fully embraced it, and it could just be more fun and wild now, and less kind of like troubled Danny versus psychotic Davos and trying to figure
that,
out.
That got so tiring and so, like, probably the weakest villain. Like, I really like all the villains of the Netflix Marvel series, and like, the Hand was really interesting. And the Purple Man from Jessica Jones season one and the two Luke Cage villains were really good, really well written and fleshed out. And like, Davos was just so like,
well, and the Kingpin, and
he's got mommy problems.
Daredevil.
It's just like, oh yeah, the Kingpin was so
and
good. Yeah, Electro was so good too.
Oh, we got to talk about that. Season 3 of Daredevil drops October 19th.
Oh yeah, a couple weeks. Definitely going to watch that. Oh,
100%.
This is kind of related. They announced they're doing a Loki TV show and a Scarlet Witch TV show for Disney's new streaming service.
Yeah, I saw that.
Probably because they're probably going to back away from the Netflix stuff and just do their
They've already talked about it.
They got to create their own content for the streaming service.
Yeah.
For their streaming service, so.
Yeah. Well, that's
Chris. What did you think of season 2 of Iron Fist?
It still suffers from bloat.
I totally agree with only 10 episodes.
Right. I totally agree with the comment that this is the weakest villain.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this one. I mean, season 1, frankly, was pretty painful to get through.
Uh-huh.
I thought this time around some of the best Iron Fist episodes are in season 2.
Oh, I agree with that. It's a marked improvement over season 1.
It's a huge improvement from season 1. I agree with you that the relationship stuff, Colleen Wing, is the best stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that there were multiple, and the fight scenes are markedly better.
The kung fu is so good in this.
It really is. They really up their game in that. And I thought it shines when they embrace the mystical stuff.
Yeah.
When they go down that path. The coolness of Iron Fist for me is this notion that in order to get the power, you have to beat a fucking dragon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so the fact that they haven't like really ran with that and totally embraced this, what's at the heart of the angsty white dude struggling with his destiny shit, is the least interesting part of Iron Fist.
Yeah.
The most interesting part is the mystical stuff.
Yeah.
The Eastern philosophical, really sort of diving deep into how does he get this, and
mm-hmm.
and that stuff is what, the best
what,
part of
what is he capable of with this power, shooting two guns that are infused with the Iron Fist.
Who the fuck knows about that? They're going off the rails with the things they did at the end of the season.
Yeah.
More power to him. I inject a little bit of you know, you do not have to be tied down by the comics. You don't have to be
well, apparently, sort of wedded to that. That's based
on another
Iron Fist that's in the comics. Orson
Randall. He was the Iron Fist like 100 years ago or 50 years ago.
Yes. So that path is great. They should do that because that down that path lies more of the mystical. What's the source of the power?
And how it's to
more
talking
adventure.
About
that kind of, exactly.
It's more adventure. Exactly. Let's have a little bit of the part of Iron Fist that I love the most is the fact. I mean, he's the living weapon.
Mm-hmm.
He should be able to take on 50 hand ninjas at the same time and smoke them all.
Yes,
he's the best martial artist in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the power of a dragon in his fists.
Let it
smoke 50 ninjas at once.
We got
a little bit of that in the Defenders when they had that awesome fight versus the Hand, and you know when they brought all the heroes together in that building.
Yeah,
when they first met up, what
they really need to do to get rid of all the bloat is they need to just go with a Heroes for Hire series. Get rid of Luke Cage and Iron Fist
and put them together. One show
and do 12 episodes of Heroes for Hire.
Because that would be so fun to watch.
Yes.
Like,
so fun to watch.
Like, get rid of the bullshit of the two shows. Because, like,
they could do 15 episodes and bring Jessica Jones in.
Oh, my gosh.
They should do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally.
Honestly.
Well, I mean, now you're talking about the Defenders, but...
No, I think you can do a Heroes for Hire, and you can do Defenders.
Well, and then Rosario Dawson says she's done. She wasn't in any of this season of Iron Fist, she kind of left early in Luke Cage, so, I mean...
Yeah, they broke them up, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, she's not coming back to the show. That's... Misty Knight has kind of taken on the crossover character aspect to kind of tie the characters together, which I like. Misty Knight is a lot of fun.
Well, so, and Misty Knight and Colleen Wing are great in the comics. Like, they're... Yeah. Go ahead, sorry.
So on balance, I like season two more than I like season one.
But it's still not perfect.
Season two was more entertaining
in more
moments. It still wasn't great, as I would define a great sort of sustained series of shows.
Yeah.
But still, it was more entertaining. I found it more entertaining than I did season one.
What did you guys think of the, what was that, Typhoid Mary character?
Mary Walker. I thought it injected flavor. You know, it was tangential, but she played an interesting core role. I was disappointed that they didn't really talk about the third, her third aspect or
her third identity.
A piece of that. I wish they would have done. Just giving us a hint of that or something. I mean, they danced around it.
They did dance around it a lot.
We're definitely gonna see her in another show.
I like Alice Eve. She's a great actress.
I like the actress.
She'll cross over into Punisher, or
that would be an interesting dynamic. Her and Frank Castle.
Yeah.
That would be.
Well, because she's kind of just like a highly trained human. She has no powers, but she's got this weird. She has a split personality, and
it definitely feels like a defense mechanism.
Her different
aspects. That versus, and then kind of the idea of Frank Castle and his overwhelmingly violent nature and his ability to push himself to do anything if he feels that he's right. Having those two interact would be pretty cool. For sure. Interesting. Yeah,
I mean, I don't know if that's what they're planning, but that's a great idea, Christopher.
I don't know. I don't know if that's what they're planning, but I would love to see them in same series. That would be fun.
That would be interesting. That would
maybe even fighting each other.
Yeah, put them on two different sides and see how they go at it.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I mean, she's kind of like a villain, but not really. Like, she kind of helps.
She's got her own agenda.
She's got her own agenda, and it's not. Yep. It's good. It's good, and
she's
it's bad.
She's a merc. She's a merc.
Right.
So you can hire her for whatever.
Yep, totally. So Something I would like to mention before we move on to other things is I watched Maniac, which is a Netflix original. Jonah Hill and Emma Stone. It's kind of this... It's not a show for everyone. Definitely
I've heard
not.
It's very weird.
It's extremely strange. But the art is incredible. And I only mention it because there are science fiction elements. It kind of takes place in the future / alternate reality. You don't really know. They don't never really explain. It doesn't seem very futuristic, but there are things that are very different about the world. And there's a lot of like mind altering stuff and a lot of dreams, you know, interpreting dreams and what they mean and like AI impacting human beings. And so there's a lot of that stuff. I really enjoyed it, but it is not for everybody. And there are some,
how many episodes is the series?
There are 10 episodes.
And point of good thing to know about this is because I mean, the guy's a good filmmaker. Corey Fukunaga, is that his name?
Fukunaga or whatever.
The director? Yeah.
He did True Detective season one with McConaughey and Harrelson.
Uh-huh.
And that's,
which was
great television.
That is, I mean, True Detective season one is incredible.
Season one,
so,
True Detective.
And this is all directed and partially written by him too. I think he has writing credits on there. So, very.
There's rumors out there he's gonna do the next Bond movie.
Woo! He should do it.
That'd be interesting.
The art in this movie is incredible, and in this show, and the different characters. I don't want to give too much away, but the different characters that like Jonah Hill and Emma Stone play are really interesting and bizarre, and there's some really interesting story here. It's not for everyone. It's very bizarre. I would say if you liked like Legion, you would like this show because it's kind of on the same vein. It's like this, untrustworthy narrator kind of a stuff.
Uh-huh.
And you're trying to like decipher a little bit what's happening, and there's a lot of bizarre stuff and what's real, what's fake, what's imagined, I really liked it, but so I just had to say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wish I'm not a huge fan of Jonah Hill for whatever reason.
Oh,
he doesn't draw me in.
Dude, he's so good in this. Man, he's so good.
Yeah. I mean, Emma Stone's great, but I guess it was a little bit on my radar, but it just felt it wasn't high on my priority list. What Netflix show was high on my priority list, and Chris and I actually sat and watched. He was in Phoenix for an afternoon, and he came over to my place. We just sat around and drank a couple beers, and we watched The Dragon Prince.
Did you guys watch all of it, or
yes?
I finished
it. Yep.
Okay, I've watched it all too. Let's talk.
22 episodes.
Yeah,
I mean, there's only 22 minute episodes.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I want more episodes.
Yeah.
The world is fun. The characters are kind of cool.
Ended up loving this show. It's so good.
It's so fun. It's a kid's show,
right?
But it pushes it. We know and love these showrunners and these creators from Avatar. So we kind of understand their sensibilities a little bit, and they definitely the fantasy world that they build is really cool. The characters are fun, and there's. So.
I liked it. I found it a little too simple and cutesy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted
Avatar that are very simple and
cutesy. No, but that there was always complexity.
Definitely.
Even in the cutest of cutesy episodes of Avatar, there was always underlying complexity. The Dragon Prince is little bit now, maybe it's season one, they're gonna tease it out, but I found it to be a little bit on the spectrum. I wanted it to be more Avatar Last Airbender. I wanted it to be much toward that versus what it turned out to be, which is much more skewed, younger, and simpler. It's in my mind.
Well, and there was a couple of moments.
I liked it a lot.
Well, there was a couple of moments where we even kind of looked at each other, and we kind of joked. It's like, we've got our quest party, you know, like kind of how the big three like come together and they eventually form this alliance to go complete this quest. And we, you know, it's like, this is really tropey.
then later they get like a girl that rides the wolf. Like, is she gonna continue with the group, or is
That'd
she
be
just
cool? Why not?
Right. I mean, she's cool, right? She's just part of the group at the end there too. But I agree with everything you said. It is too cutesy. But there are aspects. I really like the world of it. I really like the magic stuff to it. I really like the different races. I like that there's this warring faction. But it's a kid's show. It is cutesy. The animation grew on me, but at first it was hard to watch.
It's a little jarring at the beginning.
Yeah, but after a while you get comfortable with it, I guess, is the best way to say. I kind of wish the ending had a little more push, a little more punch. It
could have been a little more dramatic. Yeah.
I mean, nothing really got solved for this show. It just sort of like now that happened without
this
giving too much.
This thing happens, and it's kind of like,
okay.
Oh, now we have another challenge to deal with.
Exactly.
And it's not the big moment that should be. Oh my God, this has been the MacGuffin of the whole thing.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Then it's like this thing happens. And you're like, okay, I want this to be this. And it's like, really?
Yeah.
That's all they do with this thing?
Yep. That's it?
So
okay.
it was kind of a letdown.
A little bit. The end. I wanted the end to have – will I watch season two? Absolutely.
100%.
But it'll be
a first weekend watch for me.
But, yeah, I wish it had a little more punch. I wish it had a little more heat to it. These guys were kind of hamstring because they were on Nickelodeon.
Speaking of cutesy, and the opposite of that, did you guys ever watch the Castlevania show?
I tried. I tried season one episode one, and I couldn't get through it.
Oh,
man,
God, I love that show.
People love
that. That's the opposite of cutesy.
that's some dark shit right there.
I want to highlight a couple things just because the creators and filmmakers of the series made a very conscious choice towards diversity.
Oh God, yeah.
The skin hues are varying, and you definitely, but it's not like, you know, they're black men versus white men, and you know what our understanding of race, but there are definitive and shading of skin tone, so there's representation across all kinds of skin color. There is a main character in the show who is hearing impaired and can read lips. And
those are my favorite scenes.
I love her. She whoops ass.
Warrior.
Yeah.
She's a general, and she's the most capable character in the entire series.
She is human, and she defeats like this moon elf.
The moon elf.
Who is like, up until this moment, is like the baddest motherfucker in the world. Like, and she beats him. Like, that character's awesome.
Season two has to have more of her for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
I mean, she doesn't show up until like episode three or four of the series, and she's in a few episodes, but she's the most interesting character, in my opinion, so far.
Yeah.
This deaf.
You know what I think are really interesting? The brother and sister characters of their children of the dark wizard guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like so goofy, but I kind of just love them. They're
kind of the dumb jock.
Yeah.
And like the sister.
Yes. And I know it's silly, but
they're fun.
They are fun, and they made me laugh. When he talks about meeting his father at the top of the castle because he's excited that he got a good leg workout.
Yeah.
That made me laugh. And he's like, he continues to do squats as his father is telling him serious shit. I just I don't know. That cracked me up. Maybe
it cracked me up too.
Like I think the jokes are good. And this is just lighthearted. It's lighthearted fun, and it's not really nothing too serious or like challenging. But I don't know. I thought it was great. So
I thought it was. I'll definitely watch season two.
Did you watch this with your girls, Chris?
No.
No.
I have not. Yep. No. I haven't watched it yet with Kira. I need
Kira
to
will Kira will dig it.
Yeah, I think Kira will like that.
She'll definitely like it.
All right. Yep. Cool. Let us know what she thinks. I'm curious of that. What else do you guys got? You guys had some stuff, right?
Well, I mean, I'm reading the new Robert Galbraith mystery.
All right, let's move on to reading stuff. Yeah.
I'm enjoying that because it's just a fun mystery story and the characters are really
cool. Which one?
Cool.
What's that called?
Lethal White.
Oh.
It's the fourth in this detective series that J.K. Rowling writes under a pen name.
Oh.
And I just dig it. It's a fun book. It's a 500 page book, and I'm about 200 pages into it, and the mystery's starting to get good, and you know, I like that it's set in modern London. The main character is an Arsenal fan. He's the hero, so that's pretty cool. Arsenal's won 5 in a row, by the way, in the Premier League.
Shut up.
They're doing well after losing 2 in the beginning. But anyway, Lethal White. I'm enjoying the book very much. So I'm going to read this book, and then I'm going to go on to book number 2 in the First Law series written by Joe Abercrombie.
Yeah.
The sequel to A Blade Itself, so I'll be reading that next.
I am currently listening to. I'm not very far into it. The Blade Itself, I downloaded it on your recommendation last time, and so far I really like it too. It's interesting, and it's kind of dark. Man, it's dark.
And but it's got some wit to it, right?
Yes.
I liked how funny it was. It was darkly funny.
Oh, yeah. It definitely has some, like, snark going on. Yeah, yeah. And
what book was this?
The Blade Itself.
Is that the first one, or is that?
That's the first one.
It's the first one. Okay. Yeah. The guy who reads it for Audible is really good. He does a great job.
You know, that's something to be said for sure, because I've listened to some audiobooks that are kind of boring, and I think that partial to do with
that I can't listen to because I don't like the narrator.
That's what I'm saying. It's like it's not as interesting because the narrator is not as interesting. So, I think that's part of the entertainment of Audible for sure. Having a good voice reader person. So. Christopher, what you got reading? What are you doing?
I'm currently reading. We are reading Foundation for book club, and so I'm reading that. I've read that.
Isaac Asimov, right?
Isaac Asimov. It's a
Was that your choice for this month for book club?
It was not. No,
that's surprising.
Have you read this before? This is on one of my bucket lists. Foundation. Yeah, I've never read it.
Oh, I've read it, I don't know, 10 times
before. Oh, okay. Whoa.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, no, it's an essential science fiction book.
That's what I've heard.
It's not long. The series itself, in order to understand science fiction, you need to read the series.
Oh.
Honestly.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yes, you need to read it. Listen to it. It's a short listen. It's a short book.
Okay. All
right.
I got some Audible credits, so I'll bust it out.
You should.
I did that other one that you recommended last week too. What was the other one? I haven't started it though. Not last week, but you know, last episode.
Last episode. I heard you're talking about the fantasy series. Was it his sci-fi series?
The fifth season.
Yeah.
I haven't started it yet, though.
Okay.
I got the fifth season, but...
When I finish Foundation, I'm shifting to that. I bought that trilogy, so that will be my next read.
Sweet.
Nice.
Yep.
All right. I mean, we went kind of long with the stuff we watched in the discussion.
Oh, and Monstrous Volume 3 is out.
Oh, it is.
Yes. Ooh. So I picked that up from my new shop down here in Tucson. And
have you read any of it?
Not yet.
Okay.
I've been saving it.
Okay. Next time we're gonna read Monsters Volume 3 and talk about it. I will have that done because I love that book. So awesome. Yeah. Have you guys got stuff to talk about for Played Destiny stuff?
There is so much to do in Destiny 2 Forsaken right now. It's almost overwhelming.
It's crazy how much there is to do.
So give us a cut of what you're working on.
I'm slow burning it. I'm still building power.
Okay.
I'm still doing my dailies to build power so I can do more complicated shit and go on more intense quests for stuff.
What's the grind?
Have you finished the story?
I haven't unlocked the Dreaming City yet.
Oh wow!
So you haven't beat the final boss of the main line.
Well, no, I beat. I've killed Aldrin. Oh yeah.
Oh okay.
No,
okay.
I had the big fight with the butthole looking thing, big floaty chimera looking
thing.
Yeah, that was a fun fight.
Yeah, that was tough.
I sold that and it took me like 20 minutes.
It was fun.
You fight a butthole. Is that what
you fight a butthole? It's called a chimera, but it looks like an anus. A big floating anus that shoots taking energy.
Patrick googles butthole in Destiny 2.
No, don't do that, dude.
Don't do it, dude. You're gonna get some gnarly
crap. What am I gonna get? Oh!
Oh!
No, it's fun.
I see it. All right.
I have to finish the quest to unlock the Dreamy City. I have to charge the awoken totem.
Yeah.
So the last couple times I've been online and like doing daily stuff, I haven't, because you have to complete or participate in a specific public event in the Tangled Shore, and I haven't been in the Tangled Shore when that public event has spawned, so I haven't been able to complete that particular step.
The content is amazing, actually.
It right is. Now.
There's shit ton to do. You can always progress. If you do the content, it's varied. It's not sort of boring. It's actually in a great place right now. And I'm not even heavily doing Dreaming City stuff because I get my ass handed to me. Because
you're not powerful enough. You gotta build power.
It's hard as hell.
What is the Dreaming City stuff? Is that the raid?
No.
It's a location that you unlock.
It's an area that is not available until you finish the main story. And then you have to do more stuff before you unlock it after the main story is over. It's really good.
It's a great environment. I've seen some of it online.
It's really fun. It's hard. If you're not powered up enough, you get smoked. So.
Oh wow! Yep. All right.
Yeah,
there's so much to do.
That's awesome.
The weapons are good. I'm really enjoying.
Didn't you text me the other day that you unlocked some weapon that you were excited about?
Yeah, I completed the Ace of Spades quest.
Okay,
hand cannon in the game right now.
It is Cade Six's hand cannon that he plays a prominent role in the story. It's Cade Six's hand cannon. You see him using it in cutscenes and stuff like that. And then what happens to him, he loses the gun and the main villain gets the gun.
Oh.
And then when you beat the main villain, you get the quest to recover Cade Six's weapon, which is this Ace of Spades handgun. And it is badass. Mm-hmm. The animation is awesome. It's really strong. The range is great. It has a perk that is extra damage. When you reload after a kill, it has Firefly as a perk.
Oh, wow.
Add extra damage, 6 bullets of extra damage plus Firefly, and it's all glowy, and it looks awesome, and it's useful in both PvE and PvP, so it's a fantastic weapon. Hunter is using it a ton these days. It's so fun to play with. Yeah,
that sounds great.
But it involves the quest steps involve Gambit achievements. It involves PvP and PvE. It covers all of those bases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's grindy and hard in that you have to get kills, precision kills in PvP, precision handgun kills in order to.
Oh wow. Not easy. Yeah. Hey there, the audio cut out on us. I'm not really sure what happened, but I'm just going to cap the show right now and then post it. So thanks for listening. I thought it was a great episode. Follow us on Brothers_Geek on Twitter. Email the show for Brothers Geek Podcast. Brothers Geek Podcast at Facebook.com. And yeah, brothersgeek.com. Check it out. Thanks for listening.